Okay. All right, so sorry we've been off for a couple weeks. We were in the middle of, or not the middle, we were towards the beginning of the second bracha. Last class we discussed the first bracha. And this evening I wanted to talk about, primarily about, Mashiv HaRuach Umrid HaGashem. If we get to it, maybe we'll start the next line also, Michal Kel Chaim. But primarily tonight, wanted to talk about Mashiv HaRuach Umrid HaGashem. Some of these ideas are applicable to what we just started saying this past week of Saint Talamatar, but primarily about Mashiv HaRuach Umrid HaGashem. So Chazal refer to this line of Shmoneh Esrei as Gvuros Geshamim, right? The first mission in Taanis says, "Me'ema Saimas Kiren Gvuros Geshamim." From when do we start to mention Gvuros Geshamim? Let's translate it for now as the strength of the rains, right? As opposed to the Saint Talmud is Sheila. But the so the mission in Taanis refers to this as Gvuros Geshamim. So what exactly is Gevuros Geshamim? What does it mean, the strength of rain? So some of Arshim would say
R-E-I-N,
R-A-I-N, right, of Geshem.
Oh, the
Right,
strength of the rains,
right.
sorry.
Gevuros Geshamim, the strength of rain, of the Geshem. So some of Arshim say that, because, rain is very powerful and it rains very hard, and that's what the Gevuros Geshamim means. But trying to understand maybe a deeper kind of idea of exactly what it means that Geshamim are the Mashiv HaRuach Umrid HaGashem is the Gevura of Geshamim. So Geshem, rain, is the medium of Chesed. It's the giving of from Shemayim to Arts, from heaven to earth, is done through rain. We've discussed previously that Shemayim is the Nosein, is the role of the giver, and Aretz is the Mekabel, is the receiver, paralleling the relationship between a man and a woman. That's the Geshem, is the channel, is the medium through which the Chesed, the giving from Shemayim, reaches the Aretz. At the same time, rain can be, it can cause a flood. It can rain at the wrong season, and we only say Mashiv Ruach certain times of year for that reason. In the summer, we say nothing, and Nusach Svar says Morit HaTal, right? But the that rain in the wrong season is detrimental. Rain can be unhelpful, or even worse, it can be actually destructive or detrimental. And we've discussed before, we mentioned in the one we're in our discussion of the first bracha, that chesed can be detrimental. We mentioned the Ma'arecha Salukos of Rabbeinu Peretz, who said that Yitzchak, Avram Avinu, worked on the Midah of chesed. And Rabbeinu Peretz says that had Yitzchak Avinu followed the path of his father and also worked on the Midah of chesed, and brought into the world this, strengthened Hashem's mid of chesed in the world in that way, that it actually would have overbalanced the chesed in the world in such a way that it would have unbalanced our bechira. It would have been, the chesed would have, not to get into, we discussed it more in detail then, but it would have been too much. And that chesed also, if it's not in the proper context, can also be destructive. So I want to just try and understand how that applies to this discussion. It's a story in Shmuel Aleph in Perek Ches. So Klal Yisrael come to Shmuel and they ask for the appointment of a king. And in Pasuk Vav there it says that Shmuel was very disappointed with them, and Hashem comforts Shmuel and he says, "They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me." Right? But that summary, something about Klal Yisrael asking for a king was there something wrong with that? There was something that was disappointing about that. Shmuel was personally disappointed. Hashem says it was a rejection of himself. So understand exactly what what did they do wrong? later, a parak or so later, what happens, just to review the story there, so Shmuel anoints Shaul. The people kind of have this, like, reaction, like, who's this Shaul guy that he's going to lead us? And then he's not, like, so accepted at first. And then the
Philistines?
The Plishtim or one of the other surrounding nations attacks, and Shaul rallies the people and fights them and defeats them, and then they accept Shaul as, you know, their king. He's led them in battle. And so then they basically have a coronation. At that point, when they've, you know, accepted Shaul, they have a more of an official coronation ceremony, and they accept Shaul. And Shmuel is now affirming Shaul, and he tells the people that, you know, you asked for a king, and now you've gotten a king, and he gives them a list of things that the king is going to do, which some Mefarshim say are actually things that a king really has the right to, and some of our some say Shmuel was just trying to scare them by describing, you know, what the corruption of power could lead to. But either way, Shmuel kind of gives them somewhat of a, you know, explaining to them why this king thing is not going to be as, you know, jolly fun as they had as they thought it was going to be. But then Shmuel says, I'm going to show you the evil of your ways. I'm going to show you that how what you did was bad in the eyes of Hashem. And then he says, "Hello, Ace." He says, "You know, look, it's currently the time for harvest, and let's see if it doesn't rain." And then Shmuel makes it rain. So he pointed out the harvest season, and then he brought rain. And it says, and then all the people cried. So what exactly was the message that Shmuel was telling them by bringing rain? Why were they so, you know, why were they all crying when it rained? And how did it appropriately respond to the mistake they were making? So just the easiest question is that why were they sad? Why were they all upset when it rained?
To ruin the harvest.
Because it ruined the harvest, that at the harvest season, all of the crops are sitting out in the field to dry. Either they left it in the ground till they would be dry enough to pick them, or they would leave them in the field after they picked to dry before they brought them in. But the rain in that season would get them all damp and moist, and then they would rot. And so the Shmuel brought the rain at exactly the wrong time, and then that would cause the produce to rot. So exactly how did this parallel to the message that Shmuel is trying to tell them? So the idea of a king is that he is meant to bring out the potential of the people. He's meant to unite them in a way that they are more than just a group of individuals. They're more than just all of the people who happen to be part of, you know, this geographical area. It makes them into a nation. And the king of Klal Yisrael is meant to make them into the nation of Hashem, into the Am Hashem. And they are therefore going to be a people who become an Am that now has the collective ability to represent Hashem in this world. And that's always the Midah of Malchus, the idea, the trait of Malchus, is a koach, a force, a power that brings out potential, right? See this idea, the pasuk that we say this pasuk when we take out the Torah says, "Lecha Hashem haGedula vaGvura vaTiferes vaNitzach laHod ki Chuv Hashemayim vaAretz lecha Hashem haMamlacha." So the pasuk splits it into two groups. You have the six, the midos. In this pasuk, you have the seven midos, which we refer to as the seven spheros, the seven units of, not units, the seven, it was, the buzz was from my phone, you have the, could have been from yours also, I guess, you have the seven, spheres of spiritual forces that make up how Hashem, you know, runs the world. So the first six, you have Lecha Hashem HaGedula VaHaGevura VaTiferes VaNetzach VaHod Ki Chol Bashamayim is Midas HaYesod. And then the pasuk says Lecha Hashem, and it again says Lecha Hashem, and then it says Hamamlacha. The Midah of Malchus is separated off from the other six, because the Midah of Malchus is different from the other six midos in that it's something which can only come after the other six, after you have the other six midos, which exist as a concept, as an idea. Malchus is that which brings them into manifestation. That which is exists as a concept, as a koach, Malchus is the idea of taking that and bringing out into fruition. Just like the nation has in their capability, you know, the individuals have all of the wealth and all of the manpower and all of the skills to build roads and have an army and all of these things, but it's only there as potential until someone comes along and groups them together and organizes it and brings that koach out. Because as long as they are a ragtag group of individuals, they're not building any roads and they're not standing any army. It's the melech, the mid of malchus, is to take all of those kochos which are there and to bring them out, to put them in a position where those kochos will then be able to come out into a reality, into a manifestation. And that's what the midah of malchus, the midah of a king, is meant to be. That which takes those kochos which are latent and brings them out, makes them into more than they were before, even though he doesn't add anything new, but he brings them up to a higher level, brings out the potential that's there. But if a king if the idea of a king is misused, if a king leads in the wrong way, then more than that, he doesn't bring out their potential, he brings them down. If a king is corrupt, so he turns all of those energies into the wrong direction. He turns them into something which is now producing in a negative way. Klal Yisrael wanted a king, but what did they say? They said, appoint a king over us like all of the other nations. We want to have a king just like all of the other nations have a king. And that's possibly what Hashem was saying when he said to Shmuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me, because they're saying, we don't want Hashem to be in, we don't want to be run as the nation of Hashem existing on this different level. We want to have a king who runs, you know, a government and an economy and, you know, a society just like all of the other nations have. We want to be just like everyone else with a normal, regular, very, you know, human, mundane system of leadership. And that's what they're asking for. They're asking that they wanted a king so they should just be, so that they could be just like all the other nations, exactly the opposite of what a Jewish king is meant to accomplish. So Shmuel brought the rain to show them that they were taking something with the potential to bring them up, something that has potential to produce growth, to bring out the kochos which are latent there. The rain comes down to the ground and brings out, causes the growth of all of those things which are latent in the ground. They were taking that and using it to bring them down, just like the rain will bring out the potential of the ground and bring growth, but in the wrong season, it will cause the growth itself to rot. So they were taking that which had the ability to bring them up, to turn them into something which was able to be the Am Hashem on a higher level, and they were taking that very utility and turning into something which would bring them down, which would make them less in a position of representing Hashem and more in a position of being just a nation like all the other nations around them. The word Gevura means control. Like the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Ezehu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro, one who exercises control over himself is a true Gibor. And the idea of Gvura, the idea of strength, is the idea of being in control. And Gvuros Geshamim, the Gvura of the rain, is that the rain falls in such a way that each drop goes where it's meant to go. It doesn't get scattered by the wind or redirected. It doesn't fall into, you know, rain into the river or into the, you know, empty fields where it doesn't do anything. The rain is directed in such a way as to be positive and constructive. That's the Gvura of Geshem, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu directs the rain to be for bracha, as opposed to afraid when the rain in the wrong season, the rain in the wrong place, the rain in the wrong amount is something which is destructive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ensures that the rain goes, every droplet of rain goes exactly where it's supposed to go. That's the Gvura of Geshamim. Gvura is the control of the rain. It's the application of the chesed in such a way that it's constructive and that it's nurturing. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the reason you have Mashiv Aruach Amorid HaGashem in this second bracha is because it's bringing Chayim L'Olam, it's bringing life to the world, it's Gvura that brings life. And that's what this bracha is about. And just to tie it back in, this is really what we spoke about in our introduction to this second bracha. That's we mentioned the Maharsha, to recap it, not to go back through the whole thing, but that the Maharsha says that the Gvura can be a midah. Gvura is a midah of control, of setting boundaries, of setting limitations on something. And that can be done in a way which crushes something, which strangles something to the point where you limit it from becoming what it could. And that was, we discussed, the Gvura of Esav. Esav had the Gvura, which was, he was a Rotzeach. He killed. He put an end to things. The Midah of Gvura of Yitzchak was a Gvura which always brought about Bracha and Hatzlacha and growth. Because Yitzchak's Gvura was a Gvura where it set the boundaries in something in such a way that it gave that thing the proper definition in which it could flourish. And that is, says the Maharsha, is the Gvura of Hashem is the opposite of the Gvura of Basar Va'adam. The Gvura of Hashem is a Gvura that brings, as opposed to the Gvura of mankind, which brings Misa to the Chayim, the Gvura of Hashem brings Chayim to the Mesim. And that's exactly the Gvuras Geshamim, is that which takes the Chesed and puts it into the proper framework, defines it and directs it in such a way that it has the positive effect that it's meant to have. And that's exactly fits into the way we discuss the theme of this bracha, is the idea of Gvura, of limitations, of defining something to be the way it is in such a way that it enhances, that it nurtures that existence to really grow and to become something more. There's a medrash in Breishis Rabbah. The medrash says that there are three concepts, which are equal and are interdependent. These things are all equal to each other, and they all are interdependent on each other. And the medrash says, a pasuk in Parshas Breishis, it says, Kol Esev Hasada Terem Yitzmach. Ki lohim tir Hashem Elokim al haaretz v'adam ayin lavodes asada. Says that all of the grass or herbage, all of the greenery, had not yet grown because Hashem did not cause it to rain, because man was not yet there to work the ground. So the Medrash says that there are three things mentioned in this pasuk that are all three are equal and interdependent. It says there's matar, there's the rain, and adam, man, and aretz, and land. All are equal, and all of them are dependent on each other. So in what way are they all equal? Is that they're all really this idea of potential, that matar is really something which is, you know, leis le migar meiklum. It really has nothing of its own. It's only there to rain in and of itself. Really doesn't do very much. It's only because there is, you know, nutrients in the ground. It's only because of that which is latent in the ground to bring out the growth that the rain can act on. That which is there, it brings out, it only exists to bring out potential, right? Like we mentioned a moment ago that Shmuel uses the rain at the wrong time as a mashal for a king at the wrong time, because both of them are the idea of an actualizer, something that brings out the potential. Adam comes from the letters, the same letters as the word ma'od. Ma'od, in addition to meaning a lot, ma'od also means potential. The word ma'od itself really is something which just, it's itself just a concept which means more of something. But the word me'od really means potential, as in we say in the second pasuk of Kriyashma, we say b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshacha, u'b'chol me'odecha, with all of your resources. Really, it means all of your money. Money is something which is there. What's the value of money? Money is something which is only, its only value is to acquire other things, the potential to get other things. Money on its own doesn't get you very far. You can't eat it, you can't ride it, you can't plant it. Money is only valuable in that it represents what it can get you. Money can get you anything, right? The if you have like all of enough money, then this, you know, $1,000 could be this or that or that or that, but it's nothing until you actually turn it into something, until you exchange it for something that you can buy. So then money itself is just the potential to own something else. And that's really what Adam is, that Adam is the potential to develop and grow, is the ability to elevate the physical, to take the things around him and to bring them up. Adam is the only being which is a combination of the spiritual and physical, has the ability to direct the physical towards the spiritual. He has the role of orchestrating and directing growth. And the last one was Eretz. Eretz is the source of nutrients that the seeds are cultivated in, the environment that fosters growth. If you plant burned and salted earth, so nothing's going to happen, even if you have everything else, because the nutrients which foster growth have to be there in the earth itself. And that's the third tool, the third ingredient is the proper environment for growth, and that's what Eretz is. Eretz is also a synonym for Eretz. Not exact synonym, the different mepharshim we discussed what the difference between the two are, but basic synonyms, Eretz and Adama. Adama is the same, is that the same shorash as Adam, the same shorash as Ma'od. And the Maharal actually says that the Torah is very interesting. It says that that why was Adam called Adam? Because he was min ha'adama, because he came from the Adama. So where'd the cow come from? Also the Adama, and also the horse and the camel and the rat and the sea urchin, right? They all came from sea urchins. Maybe they came from the water. I don't. But all the animals came from Adama. So why is Adam uniquely identified as being min ha'adama? Adam was named after the Adama, even though everything on the land was created from Adama, because Adam echoes the nature of Adama, the potential to grow. And that's where the common denominator, Adam has that ability to bring something else up, to cause growth, to bring out to grow himself within himself, because he is half spiritual and half physical, has the ability for his spiritual half to bring his physical half up. That is the koach of growth that Adam has. So in all three of these things, Matar, Adam, and Eretz, they're all interdependent, all three of these are interdependent because rain only comes because of Adam. Rashi says on that pasuk that the Medrash is quoting, Rashi says, what does it mean that it didn't rain ki Adam ayin, because man wasn't there yet? Rashi says the rain didn't come because Adam didn't come along yet to realize the need for rain and to daven for it. Rain only has a context in which to function because there's an Eretz and because there's an Adam who recognizes the need for it and who can then cultivate the land. Adam can only produce with the ingredients of having the rain and the Eretz to facilitate and to nurse his work in order to have some, for any of his avoda, anything that he does to bear fruit, he relies on having the proper context and the proper actual, having the rain to bring out all of the effects of what he does. And Eretz needs the rain to begin producing, and he needs man to cultivate the seeds. All three of these things, all these elements, depend on each other and are equally necessary for the final product of growth. For a product to come, have to have all three of these interdependent things. All right, so we'll start Michal Kelchayim. Let's do the beginning. So the next line, Michal Kelchayim Bechesed. So translate as that Hashem supports life with chesed, with kindness. So exactly, what is it? What do we mean when we say supports life? So we have a few different understandings of what this is referring to. So the Avudraham says that this is referring to mazonos. This is referring to sustenance. That this is, you know, the fact that Hashem every day provides the needs that a person has of nourishment, of sustenance. So that's that Hashem is mechalkel chayim b'chesed, that He supports life because He every day the constant needs that a person has, Hashem has that ongoing constant involvement to make sure that a person always has basic sustenance. And, you know, if you make a shirt, it's good for a few years. You make a meal, you're going to need to do it again in a few hours. Mazonos is something which is an ongoing, constant need that a person has, which, you know, it's not something which, you know, you've taken care of and now you're good. It's an on, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's Mechal Kel Chaim is on, in an ongoing way, is constantly providing mazonos. The Gemara says that Kasha mazonos of Shal Adam Kikriyas Yamsuf, that the providing the sustenance for a person is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. Now, obviously, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's side of the picture, you know, Kriyas Yamsuf wasn't, you know, was also, you know, nothing, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. He didn't, you know, need you know, to take more breath to catch his breath after he did Kriyas Yamsuf. But the idea is that is from our perspective, from what we need to realize, is that the big events in life, the big bangs, the fireworks are easy to be impacted by. The major things that happen, you know, the lights and sound displays, those things very easy for a person to be misspoiled, to be inspired, to be affected, to realize that there's something big going on here. But we have to realize also that the ongoing little things that are constantly provided are just as much of a miracle as those one-time major occurrences, and to realize that from our perspective, that there's just as much of an involvement of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the fact that we're able to make it through every day, that as much as there was in Kriyas Yamsuf. The Ramban, the famous, well-known Ramban on Parshas Bo, discussing Yetzias Mitzrayim, so he discusses three different, you know, aspects of what the Giloy, the revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world was at Yetzias Mitzrayim. But he ends and he says that he points out, he says that there are so many mitzvos which are explicitly acknowledged by the Torah to be Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Tefillin and Tzitzis and Shabbos and Yom Tov and Sukkah and all these different things which are meant to be Zecher. The Torah says, are Zecher Yetzias the Torah, or we, or in Chazal say that they're Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have all of these different things which are meant to be to remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Ramban says that why is it that we have all of these things on an ongoing basis throughout, you know, our Yiddishkeit, which are all meant to be Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim? So says the Ramban, because that was the revelation, Yetzias Mitzrayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely subdued and subjugated the role of nature through the Makos and through Kriyas Yamsuf. That was the revelation that all of nature is really a nace, that everything is only the way it is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be that way. You know, nace means a miracle. The word nace also means a banner. Nase, the lift up, raise up a banner, because a miracle is a banner showing us that Hashem is really in charge of nature, is in charge of the constant processes. It's that one glimpse that we have where the mask is pulled aside and it's revealed, but it's when we see what's really behind the mask. So now we know, even when the cover is put back in place, we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is really behind running everything, and that everything that really happens is really part of this ongoing nes. And that's the Mechal Kel Chayim B'chesed, that Kadosh Baruch Hu in an ongoing way is constantly involved in and maintaining and providing the needs of the everyday needs of a person. All of this is Mechal Kel Chayim is done b'chesed. All of this is done without the deserving of the recipient. The Siach Yitzchak says that the idea of chesed implies without any chok, without any specific, you know, rule or reason. It's just a free gift. And that's the Avudraham approach that Mechalek El Chayim Bechesed, referring to just, you know, the mizonos of a person, the ongoing sustenance of a person. The Gra is a little bit different idea. The Gra says that Mechalek El Chayim is referring to, when we say Chayim, we mean life, life itself. It's, the Gra says Chayim B'Tzimtzum, the bare fact of being alive, the fact that at any given moment you don't drop dead. That's Mechalek El Chayim Bechesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every moment is keeping you alive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps a person alive. He keeps the life processes functioning at all times. I had a friend who was, now he's a doctor, he was at the time a medical student, and he told me that one of his professors in whatever it was in medical school told him that the statistical chances of your body functioning correctly at any given moment are about 1 in 80. I told this to someone else who said that they thought the number was actually a much higher number. Yeah. But this is what his professor said, that there's so many different processes that are going on both individually and in, you know, the internetworking going on in all the systems in your body, that at any given moment, from a purely biological perspective, the odds of your body functioning correctly at any given moment, he said, were about 1 in 80. That Hashem keeps your system going, that it makes sure that nothing malfunctions, make sure that everything's working the way it's supposed to be. Just the mere fact that you continue to be alive, that everything's still going, that's Mechalek El Chayim, that Hashem is causing a person to stay alive. And Asher Yatzar, the bracha you say after you go to the bathroom, so the ending of the bracha is Rufeicho Basar Umafli La'asos. Mafli La'asos, said it's, you know, wondrous, a wondrous act, a wondrous thing. So what exactly does that mean? The Beis Yosef says, what's the wonder of, you know, a person's body? It says that, you know, the person has all of these organs working together. And if you think about it, a person is really, you know, like a balloon full of holes. You know, you have all of the air and things inside you, and you know you have like 7 holes in your head. Right, you've got the only reason a person doesn't, you know, deflate and fall apart at the spot is because you have all these valves and all of these different things which keep what's supposed to be closed closed and what's supposed to be open open, and everything is functioning in such a way that, you know, that in a miraculous way your body just continues to exist. That's Mafli La'asos. That's the amazing, the continuing to exist is itself a wonder. And that's Mechalek El Chayim Bechesed. That's what it means, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu supports life through, is supporting life with chesed, that life itself, it's a chesed, that a person can, it's not, we get so used to it, that, you know, like I'm alive now because I was alive 5 seconds ago, and, you know, since I've been born, I've, you know, just kind of been riding on the momentum. This says the girl, no, that the fact that you remain alive at any given moment is a chesed. It's not an obvious thing that a person's body should continue to work. I mean, when we get a long time down the road, we'll discuss the different mefarshim. And when you talk about Rifa'inu, about part of Rifa'inu is not just, you know, if a person is you know, deathly ill or very sick, but is also just the maintaining of a healthy state is also something that needs tefillah, because the fact that you're healthy and that your body is functioning is not a given. It's not something that, you know, we take it as, you know, part of the natural order of the world. But in a purely biological perspective, there are so many things that could go wrong. And the fact that a person continues to be able to make it, the fact that a person can keep going, that itself is Hashem, the chesed of Hashem, Mechalek El Chayim. All right, well, pause here for tonight.
Thank you. We